Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
How are we doing, everybody? Good to see you guys. Guys and gals, I use that generically. Man, I'm excited to be with you this morning. And since it's Father's Day, I'm going to indulge myself and begin the way that I wish I could begin all of my sermons, and that is by telling some jokes. I think there's a part of me that I wish I was like a stand-up comedian or something like that, because if I had it my way, I'd be, you know, starting every sermon with a few jokes. So these are dad jokes, which it's sort of offensive. Dads, shouldn't we be offended that dad jokes mean bad jokes? That's horrible, but these are truly bad jokes. I ran these past the early service, and it was way more groans than laughs. So prepare yourselves. But I did want you guys to know that I have recently started to tell people about the benefits of eating dried grapes. I mean, it's all about raising awareness. It's not the worst ever, right? Some of you have heard this, but, you know, you're American when you go into the bathroom. You're American when you come out of the bathroom. But what are you when you're in the bathroom? European. Okay. This is the most dad jokey of all of them. I went to the beekeeper to get 12 bees. He counted them out, and he gave me 13. And I said, "Sir, you gave me one extra." And he said, "That's a freebie. That's a free. That's a freebie right there." And I'll just conclude with this. Molly, the other day, she accused me of stealing her thesaurus. Not only was I shocked, but I was appalled, aghast, and dismayed. All right. You know what? I think this went right over the heads of the first service. They just didn't get it, right? Thank you for indulging me. Well, first of all, if we've not met, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here. I am going to completely shift gears and get really, really serious for a second. And I want to do, Molly calls these I see in you conversations. And what I wanted to begin with is I wanted to begin by speaking to the men of our church. And I know that there are some folks in here that I don't know very well at all. But to those of you that have been a part of our lives and in this church, I want to speak to you guys. And I want you to know what I see in you. And I am so amazed and blessed and proud of the men that attend this church. I see you as a group of men who have faithfully loved your spouses, loved your families, loved your church, even loved this community that we are a part of. I see real fathers in this place. I see how you guys have given your time and your strength and your energy to building God's kingdom, to building his church, to loving and pouring into people around here. I see you guys, you have been good and godly, character witnesses to who Jesus is. I see in so many of you guys a real passion for Jesus, a passion to see God glorified, a passion to see God worshiped, a passion to see our community transformed. You guys carry the heart of Jesus so well. And I see in you a kindness and a character that makes me want to be more like Jesus, makes me want to be more like you. And I see in you a hunger for God. And I love you men, and I honor you guys. You guys are amazing. I'm going to start crying, which is not a very manly thing to do. So I'll back up. So it is Father's Day. I love being a dad. My kids said they were coming to the service. These two are not my kids, but theoretically, a couple of Kiefers will wander in here at some point. But I love being a dad. And one of the things about me, I don't know if you're like this or not, but I regularly think, especially during Father's Day, I think a lot about legacy. I think a lot about legacy. I think a lot about the difference that I want my life to make in this world. I don't know if you guys think that way, but I think about that a lot. And for better or for worse, my kids, it's probably best that they're not here right now, my kids often remind me of legacy. It was last week, I was chatting with one of my kids and I was saying, hey, I love your taste in music. They were showing me some music. I said, I love your, you know, taste in music. And this kid said, I love music because you love music, Dad. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. That's cool. You know, thank you. Less encouraging was the kid that said, the only thing that I got from the Kiefer line of the family was male pattern baldness and ADD. It's like, cruel. Funny, but cruel. But here's the reality is that I'm going to be speaking specifically to the men in the room today, but this is really for all of us. It'll apply to every one of us. But the reality is this, we all, every one of us, our lives make a ripple effect. They all make a ripple effect. I was at Molly's parents' lake house. They have a house on a lake in Wisconsin, and we were there a couple of weeks ago, and the water was pretty chilly. We were there during the week, and it was really, really quiet, and the water was really, really placid, and I had gotten into the water literally just up to, like, below my knees, and I was just kind of out there hanging out and praying and just being. It was a really nice, quiet moment. And way, way, way off in the distance, I saw this like motorboat drive by and, you know, whatever, didn't make any note of it. But in about 60 to 90 seconds later, all of these waves came like washing up on my cold knees. And I was like, wow, it's so interesting that this boat that is really, really pretty far away, it's making this ripple effect. It's impacting my life. And I know for sure that the people that were in that boat, they didn't know that I was there. They had no idea that anything that they were doing as they were chatting in their boat would actually be noticed by anyone. But I did notice it. And it did. Those waves did touch my life. And in the same way, the lives that we live will have a ripple effect, and they will impact people that you have never met and probably people that you will never meet. And whether you're a dad or a mom, a spiritual mother or father, there are people that are coming up underneath you that you are going to make a difference in their life. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about legacy, and I want each of us to think about the ripple effect of our lives. And so if I were to define it, let's just think of legacy this way. Let's think of legacy as what we hand down or pass on from one generation to another, especially in terms of our faith, our values, our character, or our impact. That's how I want us to think about legacy. We are all, each one of us, leaving a legacy. And of course, on Father's Day, this especially applies to those of us that are fathers or grandfathers, but it really applies to all of us, like I've been saying. And it could be when you think of the younger generation that you've been around planet Earth enough times that the next generation is somebody that's my age, right? So it could be nearly anyone, but all of us were created for this. And it's interesting because here in America, we don't think generationally very often. There are many cultures that think about the generations that come before and after us more than we do. But here's a really important question that I want you to consider for a second. Just, this is actually a big deal to me. What if, church, in the same way that Jesus's brief time on earth was about so much more than the 33 years that he sort of walked the dusty streets of Palestine, what if our lives were meant to reverberate through the generations as much as Jesus's was? Can you imagine that your life isn't just about the here and now, but that the ripple effect of your life ought to continue generation after generation after generation? Can you see that for your life? Can you imagine that? Because that is exactly how it's supposed to be. And I believe that possibly one of the most important things about us men will be the ripple effect that we have through the generations. And that's what I want to challenge us to today. And there could hardly be a more biblical understanding of our lives than the call to pursue God, not just for ourselves, but for subsequent generations that will come after us, maybe many of those. Because what was God called? He was called the father of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and now me and you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to dive into a psalm. This particular psalm is the psalm of one of the psalms of a guy named Asaph, and he was a worship leader, and I love Asaph's psalms. Keep your eyes open for his particular psalms. But Psalm chapter 78 is where we're going to be, and it begins this way. And here's what I want you to do. As we read Psalm 78, I want you to pay attention to the movement of the faith from one generation to the next generation. And so here's what it says. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. By the way, this is Asaph's legacy message. This is his teaching on legacy. So he says this. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation, there it is, about the glorious deeds of the Lord and about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. So the next generation, there it is again, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles, but obeying his commands. And then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. And so Asaph says, I'm going to teach you something. Lessons from our past, lessons that came down from generation to generation, going back, he referenced going back 1,000 years. And he said this, I want you to tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story. He says this over and over again. Tell the story. And I'm going to just let you in on a little secret. And that is, I actually have a problem with how Asaph approaches this. And I'll get to that in a minute. So be ready for my complaint. But what is he, why does he say, tell the story? Tell the story. Why? He says, tell the story so that the next generation might teach their children the ways of God. Tell the story so that the next generation would set their hope anew on God, meaning that the next generation would have their own fresh way of experiencing God. Tell the story so that the next generation would walk in obedience to God the Father. Now, here's the thing. I think I've read this psalm probably many times over the years and many verses like it. And I don't know if you're like me at all, but I can read these things and sometimes it can have like zero impact. I mean, I don't really get a hold of what it is that the psalmist is saying. But it's so important for us to actually think about what it is that is going on here, right? He's saying, tell the God stories so that your children would intimately know God. Is there a young person in your life that you would love to see to see them know and love God this way, that they would have their own deep, powerful, intimate connection? Do you have someone like that in your life? He said, tell the stories so that your children would teach their children the ways of God, so that the heart of God could be known, so that they would burn with love and desire for God the Father, your grandchildren, and people beyond them. Tell the stories, he says, so that your children and your children's children and the children after them would know that God is the God of miracles. He's the God of wonder. He's the God of power. He's not anemic. He's not weak. He's the God of great presence. Tell those stories. How important would it be for us that our children and our grandchildren would know God that way? Tell the story so that your kids would lead lives of obedience, so that they would become world changers in their own generation. Just imagine imagine this inheritance for the next generation that the psalmist is calling us to as we learn to love legacy. And I want to speak again, it's for all of us, but I'm specifically speaking to the men in the room. And I want to say, if we want that for our generations, then what will it take? If we want that for the generations that come after this, then what will it take? What is required? Well, it will take us. We need to stand for that. We need to step into that. And so Asaph says, tell the story. And if I could, we started really, really lightly with some jokes, but for the next few minutes, I'm going to challenge the men in the room. I'm going to challenge us, and I ask your permission to be challenged here. But Asaph, the psalmist, finally says, he says this, tell the story so that the generations after us would not be like those ancestors of ours who were stubborn or rebellious or unfaithful. And I was thinking, I'm sorry, Mia, I'm calling you out today, but I was thinking about my niece, Mia. Mia is a literal track star. And I'm very, very proud of her. So Mia holds the state record in cross country in Illinois, and she holds the state record in the 2 mile in track as well. She's a literal champion. Woo! Good job, Mia. And she's embarrassed, but she is a really, more importantly, she's a godly, awesome young woman. But here's the thing about Mia's running, and now I'm paying more attention to it these days, but running is oftentimes an individual race. And when Mia runs for herself, you know, very often the only outcome that really matters to Mia is how her personal race went. And did she win the race? And if she won, there will be accolades and there will be medals and glory for her. And sometimes she runs races and she doesn't win, and there are none of those things. But whatever the case may be, the proof of the victory is in that prize that she will receive. But every so often, Mia runs a relay race. And the victory, what the sign of victory for a relay race is very, very different. In a relay race, the victory has to do with both running a good race, but also the passing of the baton, the handing off. And success only happens if she not only runs a good race, but if she passes that baton well. The thing is true of our legacy. Races are won and lost all the time. And the most important handoff that we will ever make, I believe, is our faith. And I just want you men to consider the idea that the most important thing that you will ever do is hand off a mighty faith to the generations that will come after you. It's fine to leave a 401k. It's fine to leave a house. It's fine to leave good athletic genes or get your kids into a good college. But church, I want to challenge you. Men, I want to challenge you. The most important thing that you will ever do is pass the baton to the next generation, leaving a white hot love and desire for God to be glorified in the next generation, and the one after that, and the one after that. And the reality is that there are times in our own families, in our own generations, our own history, that the baton gets dropped. And when that happens, generations are cut off. They're lost. In my own family life, I grew up Catholic, but my parents were Christians. They loved Jesus, and then some really, really bad things happened, and they walked away from their faith. And when I was a kid, as my parents walked away from faith, all of their kids did as well. All the boys walked away from faith. I left faith for a short while, and then someone brought me back to Jesus, but both of my brothers walked away from their faith, and they have never returned. And so they are not believers. Their kids don't have any idea about God. They don't go to church. None of those things. And that is the reality. That is what happens when there is a failure of legacy, when there's a failure to pass legacy on. And it's just a reality, and it's happening so prevalently, so powerfully in our society that that an entire generation of young people are being lost because the parents have lost their faith. It's called, the pollsters call it the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Because when polled, that youngest generation, the youngest adults that we have to poll, the 18 to 23-year-olds, so many of them, half of them actually are reporting they have no affiliation with God, no affiliation with the church. That's what's happening. And that is what can happen when legacy isn't cherished and when that godly legacy of passing our faith down falters. And that really, really concerns me. That bothers me. In the psalmist, though, he says this. He said, tell the story so that the next generation will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful. And for some of us in this room, we may be called not to preserve the legacy that we received, but to redeem that legacy, to change it, to do a new thing, to bring God back into our families, to break the cycle of unfaithfulness, and to make a new beginning, to build a new future for the generations that come after us. We have that as a privilege and as a responsibility, each one of us, to choose a new direction for our families, even when someone behind us has dropped the baton, and we can do that today. And God gave us this really, really amazing promise. And he spoke it through the prophet Joel to the nation of Judah when they were in a long place of rebellion. But God said this. He said, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. This was God's promise that if Israel returned to him, if they repented, if they came back to Jesus, came back to God, I should say, that God would restore what had been lost. And that's the power that we have for our generations. And I should have grabbed one from the back, but there's this other thing that I see in our culture and in our church that bothers me. And that is, how many of you guys have ever, guys and women, how many of you have ever made a photocopy of something? Has everybody here made a photocopy? You've worked with a copy machine? You know that, like, probably 30 years from now, nobody will know what we're talking about, right? That's just not going to happen. But we are old enough to have made a copy. Well, right behind that wall, we have this little thing with all of our forms that we use here at Thrive. And I have no idea where the original of any of those forms were, but I personally have a copy that has been a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, and I have gotten copies that have come to the point where they're crooked and so faded that they're virtually unrecognizable based on what the original thing was. And I have this bothering, nagging frustration and this fear, and maybe it's just me, but I have this concern that in every generation, our faith gets watered down little bit by little bit so that we come to a point that at some point there is so little power, there's so little presence of God, there's so little Jesus in our faith that why would anybody in the world want anything that we have? Because everything that the world offers is so much more interesting. And this is actually part of, does that make sense, you guys? What is it that we're passing down to the generations? And this is kind of what bothers me about Asaph's little approach to this. It's kind of grinding on me because Asaph says, tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story about the glorious deeds of God. But I believe, church, that if we are going to leave a powerful and godly legacy that will truly ripple through the generations, we're going to need to do more than just tell the story of God. We're going to need to live the story of God ourselves. We're going to need to embody Jesus ourselves. Our kids and the next generation, they're not going to be shaped by our words alone. They're going to be shaped by our life lived, our example. We need to become that story that we're supposed to tell. And I am amazed and in awe that Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I just want to ask you men, will you say that? Can you say that to the generations that will come after you? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you say, look at my character, and I would love nothing more than my own character to be the character that my kids inherit and my grandkids inherit and their grandkids inherit. Look at me as your example. Can we say that, men? Can we say, look at my walk with Jesus, and if you do nothing more than live for Jesus the way that I live for Jesus, I have no fear for the generations that will come after me. Look at me. Let me be the example. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That is the call for each of us. That's what it means to truly pass on a legacy. Your life, even more than your words, will be the blueprint for your generation's faith. Your spiritual practices will be what your kids' discipleship looks like and your grandkids' discipleship, and on and on and on. And I know that that is a heavy load to bear, but it is ours to bear, and I personally, I love the challenge. I want this. I want this for myself. I want this for my kids. And I hope that you will want this for your kids. I know it's a great responsibility. But before we get crushed sort of under the weight of this, I just want to remind each of you of who you are and that God has already been at work in you. And you never do this work alone. God is always filling you and animating you and strengthening you and envisioning you if you will allow him. And God loves us in our imperfection, and he is a rewarder. Every time you open up your Bible, God is rejoicing, and you become that picture of what he is looking for. And I actually just love something that the parable of the talents, right? Some of you may know that Jesus taught this thing called the parable of the talents, and it was the idea that God would give each of us some ability, some power, some gifts to do something with, and he's going to leave those with us, and he calls us to multiply them. But here's the thing, he only gives his talents to imperfect people. And when he shows up again, unless we have buried everything, we're going to offer him back the substance of our life. And what are we going to hear, men? We're going to hear, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with these few things, and now I'm going to give you many, many more things. And so I want you guys to know that God isn't looking for perfection. He's not looking to put a burden on us. He is just inviting us to love our legacy, to love the generations that come after us. And so what I want to do is I want to empower you. I want to free you to fully be present to your life and what God is doing in your life. Because men, you have so much to share. You have so much to give. And every little bit counts. Every tiny thing counts. Every time, like I said, you pray for your kids or your grandkids or just anyone in the next generation, you are filling that generation with the kingdom of God. Every time you spend time with a kid or a grandkid or someone that's below you, you're pouring your life into the building up of that generation. If you are married in this room or will be, and you love your spouse well, you are building into the next generation. You're pulling heaven down to earth. Every time, like I said, you open up your Bible and especially invite your family to be a part of your connection with the Lord, you're pouring into legacy. You're making a ripple effect. And my kids are young adults now. They're 25, 24, and 22 almost. She was shaking her head, but I said almost. And when my kid, they don't live at home anymore, but when my kids come home, I actually love just saying, hey, could we hang out together and just talk about God, right? Can we just hang out and do Jesus together? What's God doing in your life? And I love that even at this age, they are willing to do that with me. And what's happening, it's me pouring into their generation, praying that God would be shaped in their lives. And so I invite you to do the same. Every little thing that you do is building into the next generation. Every act of love, every act of mercy, every time you say, I have screwed up, will you forgive me? I messed up. That is building character into the next generation. And so, men, I'm inviting you to love your legacy, to love and cherish and value the impact that your life will make through the generations. Don't just think of yourself now. Think of yourself and the ripple effect of your life for years to come. And I'll close with something that the Apostle Paul, who never had a family of his own, he never had his own kids, but he was a spiritual father, like many of us are, or a spiritual mother. And Paul said this. He said in 1 Thessalonians, he said, "And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy." I love that. for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. And then a few verses later, Paul talks about inheritance in such a lovely way. And he says this, after all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. That is parent talk right there. You are my reward. And so Paul's joy is not only to leave an inheritance, but also to receive an inheritance. And what was Paul's inheritance? What was it? Thank you. People. It was people that he poured his life into. He got to receive redeemed lives as a reward for his faithful work, and they became his pride and joy. That's father talk right there. And those of us who learn to love our legacies will also receive an inheritance of people who came after us, whose lives we impacted. Even though our life was way off the shore and they never got to meet us, your life will impact them. And I believe in my heart that there will come a day for all of us where someone in heaven will come up to us and say, thank you for the difference that your life made in mine. I am here because of you. I am here because of you. That's what we have in front of us. That's why I call us this morning, men, to cherish our legacy, to love our legacy, to love the ripple effect of our lives, to think that the most important thing about us might actually be the ripple effect of the generations that will come after us. And when we do that, we will all enjoy that prize of someone saying, thank you. I am your reward. Thank you for what you've done and how you lived your life. Amen.